But when you read your scripture now in the light of that which I've been teaching you, light and life will come. He will glorify me. And always remember that the Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus. Always. Jesus said he would. And the Holy Spirit always magnifies. That's the reason I say to you, sometimes we get so involved with our own ideas. There are those who run such a hobby on the Holy Spirit that they have forgotten all about Jesus. They have forgotten all about Jesus. And Jesus made it very definite that the Holy Spirit will magnify and glorify me. It's still Jesus. But just before he went away, wanting to give his church. Now, whenever I speak of the church, I'm talking about this body of believers, because there is only one who can say, my church. Only one. When you say my church, you talk about the denomination to which you belong. But the one who could really say, my church, was Jesus, this glorious body of believers. And every person, whether they be Jew or Gentile, Catholic or Protestant, whoever that one may be, when they have this wonderful new birth experience, they are automatically born into this body of believers. Mine, these that thou hast given unto me, Jesus said when he talked to the Father. There is literally this kinship, this relationship. We are a part of him. And he is the head of this wonderful body of believers. In this holy sanctuary this morning, it makes no difference who you are. And I dare say that we have practically every denomination represented here. And it makes no difference where you have your church membership. If you have had that new birth experience, then you are my brother and my sister. And we are a member of this great body of believers, this body of Christ. But remember, before he went away, he wanted to give to this body of believers the greatest gift that he could possibly give. The Holy Spirit had been so faithful to him. The Holy Spirit had come through every time. The Holy Spirit had been so faithful. He depended on him. And he had not let him down. And so, knowing he was going to go away, he said, it's expedient for you to go, that I go away. I have to go away, for I'm soon to take the position of great high priest, ever living to make intercession for you. And that's the reason not one of us needs ever be defeated, not one. There isn't one of his children that needs ever go down in defeat for one second. Not one second. I don't care what the temptation is. I don't care. Not one of us need ever go down in defeat. We have a great high priest. We have one who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And he'll be right there to give you the strength to come through victoriously. So he says, I'll give you the gift. Now remember, He came upon only a few in the Old Testament. But now it was different. Now. And ye shall receive power. And he's talking to his own. His own. His own. Members of this great body. You cannot limit it just to the few in the upper room. You cannot limit it to the 120. For he was not speaking to just the 120. And he made it known, the Holy Spirit made it known to whom this glorious power was to come upon. He made it known to the lips of Peter. To you. To this generation, to the generation that follows, and the generation after that, and the generation after that. Even to that hour in the First Methodist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This promise is unto you and your children and your children's children and their children. And he included me. You dare not limit the Holy Spirit to just the early church. You dare not limit to this wonderful experience to just 120. And ye shall receive power. What power? The same power that was manifested in his life and ministry. The same. Manifestations. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And the greatest gift that Jesus could possibly give to his church was the gift of the Holy Spirit. Know that. It's a part of your inheritance. It's yours. It's a part of your inheritance. You don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you've been missing all this time. You don't know. You don't know. It's a glorious experience. It's a marvelous experience. But you say, Miss Kuhlman, how is one filled with the Holy Spirit? It's so simple. It's like that about everything when it comes to the spiritual things. Healing is so simple. There's some hard thing he'd asked us to do. It's so simple that most folk miss it. Now we come to the thing of tongues and the experience. First of all, let me answer this as simply as I can. How is one filled with the Holy Spirit? He is with you, the scripture says, but he shall be in you. The Holy Spirit is with every Christian. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit is with you. He was even with you before you were born again, because it's the Holy Spirit who convicts the sinner of sin and of judgment. The Holy Spirit is the mighty convicting power. Know that. If only you could realize the importance of the Holy Spirit. He is the convicting power. No man comes to the Lord of himself. If you're convicted, that is the Holy Spirit. He is with every Christian. If you're born again, he is with you. He's with every child of God. But when it comes to this experience, but he shall be in you. In. 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 That makes him mighty close. in you. But how? Let me give you as simple an illustration as I possibly can. When we're born again, let's say, for instance, our heart has four wounds in it. You want to know something? I don't think we could take it all at once, you know it? I really don't. Do you really want to know how powerful is the Holy Spirit? Do you really want to know? That's the reason when it comes to the slaying power of the Holy Spirit. And there are those who witness to the fact that it was like a bolt of electricity. Do you know what you're dealing with? Something greater than any electricity. These old physical bodies of ours can just take so much. They're not geared for all this power. You understand? That's the reason no man can look upon the face of God and live. All that Moses saw was the hinder part. That's the reason I know that God has a body. He's more than something ethereal. He's more than spirit. Moses literally saw. God is more than just spirit. Oh, I'd like to spend the next hour just on that, but can't do it. But you remember, the four rooms of our heart, and at the time of salvation, we think we've given him everything. We think we have. And we open, as it were, one room of our heart and say, come in, Lord Jesus. Come in. And he comes in. We're born again. But there's something about the next day, you know. It's alive. It's something that's constant. It's glorious. It's a definite transaction. That new birth experience is a definite transaction. The songwriter had it when he wrote the words in the first stanza, some of self and some of thee. Then the next verse, less of self and more of thee. Then, none of self. I can't put it better. None of self, but all of thee. None of self. And it's the hardest thing in the world sometimes, I think, is for men and women to die. To die, none of self, none of self. None of self, but all of thee. But remember, he comes in as you worship and adore Jesus, for Jesus said he'd magnify me. And you get exactly what you seek for. And many a person has sought tongues. Tongues. You cannot show to me from the Word of God. You cannot. No theologian can show me and prove to me in the Word of God that you and I were ever commanded to speak tongues. And I believe in the speaking in an unknown tongue. I believe in it with every atom of my being. Don't you dare go out of here. Don't you dare. I'll pray conviction on you that you won't sleep. And no sleeping pill will help you out. Don't you dare. I believe in the speaking in an unknown tongue. I've got to believe it. It's here. In the house of Cornelius, I believe. But they were at no time commanded to seek tongues. Never. Read Paul himself. They were seeking the Holy Spirit in the upper rooms, the 120. They were seeking him, the Holy Spirit. And in the final analysis, my friend, when you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's still just more of Jesus, and more and more and more and more and more and more of Jesus. And what, my friend, is the speaking in an unknown tongue if you do not have the power of the Holy Ghost and the love of Jesus? I'll go back to that in just a second. If you seek tongues and you're not scriptural, you're absolutely not scriptural. If you get down on your knees and pray for tongues, you're not scriptural. You're not scriptural. You seek more of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes in through praying. And adoration. You worship Jesus. He will glorify me. And when you get to the place where you love Jesus with all of your heart, it's so easy to die to self when you have Jesus, when you love Jesus. It isn't a matter of struggling. It's so easy when you love Jesus enough to surrender. And you love him, and you adore him, and the Holy Spirit comes in, and he will announce his own incoming. It isn't that you seek any evidence. You don't seek the evidence. The evidence will come. And you don't have to seek the evidence. The evidence will come. How many understand? Put up a hand. And the greater of the two evidences is the power that's manifested in your life. For Jesus himself said, and ye shall receive power. Don't let us put words in the mouth of Jesus. Don't go contrary to the teaching of the Master. His last words. He knew human nature so well. And ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the greatest evidence of having been filled with the Holy Spirit will be the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah? I'm going to tell you something. When you plant a peach tree, and if that's a genuine peach tree, you're not going to get crab apples. And remember something else. Noise isn't power. Yeah. I had an old Model T Ford one time. First car I ever. Oh, land. I'm going to tell you something. If that old Ford, whew, if noise had been power, that would have been the most powerful thing that ever was on the road. Back in Idaho. Love is the only thing. I think I got it for $35. That's all I could afford. But say you drive one of Tinker Wilkerson's new Imperials. Now watch. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all the mysteries. Read it, that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, though I gave my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Now, if you want to know whether one has really been filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be the evidence of the fruit. There will be the evidence. Love suffereth long, always patient, and is kind. Can your experience measure up with this? Envieth not. Sometimes I think we have more jealousies in our assemblies and in our churches than any place else in the world. The sin of jealousy is so prevalent, and it's the first sin that we have any record of whatsoever. That's what caused an angel to fall and become Satan. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I've got to stop right there and say something. You do not have the fruits of the Spirit. Watch this. If you have spiritual pride, you say, I have been filled. And this gets me more than almost anything else. Somebody comes along and said, oh, Miss Gomez, it's so nice meeting you. I want you to know that I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I did the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have all of the gifts of the Spirit. And the more they talk, the more puffed up. I feel like taking a pin and just puncture the balloon. And I get away from that one so fast. Because, beloved, the greatest of all Christian graces is humility. And if you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, remember, one of the fruits of the Spirit is humility. And some folks, after they think that they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't touch them with a 10-foot pole. They're so proud. Everybody else is on a lower level. Because they have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many understand? Put up a hand. I'll go a step further when it comes to, and I'd like to take this whole thing. I'll go a step further when it comes to not only the fruits, but the gifts of the Spirit. If you have really received one or more of the gifts of the Spirit, you're not going to boast of it. You're not going to talk about it. You're not going to talk about it. You're not going to talk about it. Because these things are so sacred. These things are so sacred. They're so wonderful. It's like a beautiful jewel. No one will ever hear Catherine Kuhlman ever admit that she has been given any gift of the Spirit. I would no more than anything in the world. I would no more stand before an audience or even speak privately of any gift of the Spirit the Holy Spirit has ever given me. It's a gift, a responsibility that goes with it. And you guard it so carefully, and you guard it so carefully. And he gives you a reward for what the Holy Spirit has done and has given. I beg of you, if there's one in this place who's gone around boasting of some gift of the Spirit, be careful. Be very careful how you use it. Be very careful. It's a sacred trust. It's something so precious you don't talk about. Much that I've said this morning may be absolutely contrary to your theology. I'm not going to speak in tongues. There shall be no doubt in your mind I believe in the speaking in an unknown tongue. But when the Holy Spirit does the speaking, it's going to be beautiful, wonderful. And he speaks perfectly. He speaks perfectly. Sometimes, in some of the actions of the people, you would almost get the idea that the Holy Spirit was illiterate. He's not an imbecile. The one through whom Jesus offered himself to be given perfect wisdom, perfect knowledge, perfect in all things. When he speaks, he'll speak beautifully. I'll tell you my first experience, and I was young. I was so young, not more than 16 years of age in Joliet, Illinois. And the things that I've been talking to you about this morning were so new to me, I knew nothing about them, nothing. And all that I knew when I first started out the ministry was just salvation. I knew nothing more. Nothing. I knew nothing more. I only knew that I'd been born again, that's all. And you do not give to anyone else any more than what you've experienced. It was a store building. One night I'd given an altar call. My personal work, I wasn't too wise in it. I practically locked the door, and if there was an unsaved person there, they didn't get out till I had them down on their knees. I pounded the devil right out of them. The Lord didn't do it, I did it for him. Oh, so unwise. I'd given the altar call, and then the services ended. They were still about three or four who were still kneeling. This was my first experience. I was sitting back with Isabel Drake's mother. Practically all the lights were turned out. I was saving electricity. Isabel Drake, a school teacher who would commute from Joliet, Illinois into Chicago, a very fine young lady, was kneeling at the altar for salvation. And I was sitting there quietly talking with her mother. And suddenly, Isabel Drake put back her head, and the most beautiful singing, the most beautiful, as clear as a bell, I never hear an opera singer. I never. When they hit those C's, I never. It was so deeply moved and affected. That's been years ago. It was perfect. I think I know a little bit of what the music is going to be like in heaven. Remember, when the Holy Spirit does it, it's perfection. There's never a wrong note. It's never flat. It's never sharp. When the Holy Spirit does it, it's perfection. And her mother grabbed my hand. She says, my daughter can't even carry a tune. That's not my daughter singing. That's not my daughter singing. And her face shone like an angel. And as she sang, oh, the perfection of it, she was glorifying and magnifying Jesus. And this continued for about 5 minutes. And that was it. I heard the singing of the Holy Spirit. My mother had never heard me preach. If you only knew Mama, if you only knew Mama. Mama has died since. Mama had never heard me preach. But the very first time was when she came to Denver, Colorado. Believe in the speaking in an unknown tongue. I've got to believe. But what I'm trying to say to you, when he does it, it'll be perfection. It'll be perfection. Everything the Holy Spirit does is perfection. And after I finished preaching, I said, now there's a prayer room back here. And I thought, oh, what'll Mama think? What'll Mama think? And I'd been preaching on the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't think Mama understood one thing that I said. I don't think she did. Mama knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. Mama was Methodist. She didn't know too much about the new birth experience. To just slip back in the prayer room and I'll go back with you. And so they came. When I walked off of that platform, Mama was just sitting there. She didn't come. She didn't know what it was all about. After about 15 minutes, the door of the prayer room opened. There must have been about 100 or more kneeling there praying, everyone with their heads down. And I saw Mama come through that door. But you only knew my Mama. You can't appreciate this. You could not have convinced my Mama of spiritual things. She was so set in her way. If the Methodists didn't believe it, then it wasn't so. It wasn't so. Her father, my grandfather, was so Methodist that when he died, he would have staked his life that only Methodists would be in heaven. I've often thought since, think what a surprise that Grandpa Walkenhorst got. And Mama knelt down. She hadn't
be on her knees very long. I slowly walked over to her. Everybody was praying. And I laid my hands on her. She's such a quiet woman. When I touched her, my mama began to speak in a heavenly language.
Mama never knew there was such a thing. My mama did not know there was such a thing as speaking in an unknown tongue. She didn't know it. She had never read it. She had never heard it. She had no light on it. She was not seeking for it. Explain these things, who can? Who can? And my mother began speaking just as softly and beautifully. It was glorious. It was glorious. I stood there. And I listened. I have to believe in speaking in an unknown tongue. I have to. I have to. I have no choice. When she opened her eyes, she took my hands in hers. It was the first time that she had ever approved of me being in the work that I was in. And she took both of my hands in hers and she said, "Catherine, preach it that others might receive what I have just received." Do you want to know something? My mother did not sleep for 3 days and 2 nights. My mother did not sleep. So great was the joy of the Lord upon her. She couldn't sleep. She couldn't sleep. There was no sleep in her. She couldn't. This joy. The next morning, when they came to see her, the joy, it's something, who can explain it? There are no words in the human vocabulary. You know it, you know it, you know it. My mother was never the same again, never. The next day, there was no sleep. This joy. I had a new mama. My mama was a new person. This love that radiated from her, just love. Nobody had to prompt her. Nobody had to teach her. This joy, this love, this love. And my mother never, 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 never again was the same. My own experience. When I died, and I told you last night, I came to the place of a dead-end street when I gave him body, soul, and spirit. I gave him body, soul, and spirit. And he came in, and he spoke through lips of clay. It was not Catherine Kuhlman, but it was when I gave him myself, all of me. All of me. All of me. It's so natural. It's so simple. You do not have to seek the manifestation. You just surrender to him and he does the rest. You know not how to pray or what to ask for. It's the Holy Spirit's over here in Romans.
This is precious. I wish I had an entire hour on this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Ye say, have you ever spoken in tongues since? There are times when, in my ignorance, my lack of knowledge, I know not how to pray. And a dear old Brother McLeod, when I was so young and he was in his 80s, took my hand in his and said, never get out of the will of God, girl. And I didn't know what he's talking about. I know now. My own nature is to be impulsive. But when it comes to the things of God, I'm so slow to move. I'm so afraid of getting out of the will of God. I'm so afraid of getting out of his will. I wouldn't get out of the will of God for anything in the world. And there are times I don't know. I don't know how to pray. I don't know. I come and stand there in that moment of crisis and I don't know. And I look up and always remember, when you get to the place where you have no will of your own, you cannot miss the will of God. It's not an easy place to get to. That's the reason why when you come to those places, you rush over to your neighbors or you rush over to somebody else and you want them to say what you want to hear. There is a place when you come, and this is where the speaking in an unknown tongue comes in my life. I know not. And remember something, the Holy Spirit is not given for our own pleasure and our own enjoyment. It is not. The Holy Spirit is given for service. It is not for our own pleasure. You're misusing the Holy Spirit. You're misusing this wonderful person if you're using him for your own pleasure. A little spiritual picnic when you get together with some of the saints of God. You're misappropriating the power of the Holy Ghost. But there is a time when you know not how to pray. But there is one who knows the perfect will of God. And he never works separate and apart from the Father. He never works separate and apart from Jesus. He has perfect knowledge as to the will of God. And when I get to the place I have no will of my own, and I throw myself upon the person who dwells within, and he comes before the throne and he makes intercession for me. And he speaks for me. And I can never miss the will of God. For he knows his will and talks to the Father for me.